Deacon Sullivan is going to give us our last prayer on a Sunday of 2018.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this year that's gone by and for all the blessings and all the challenges and the growth that you've given us, Lord. We thank you that we can continue to gather here and praise you and worship you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Okay, well, we're going to sing Christmas carols again. There's also many wonderful things. It was interesting that many of the very famous artists, both in country music and other music, all like to do Christmas carols. I watched a special out of London where they had 30,000 people in this auditorium. It was huge. And everyone singing the Christmas carols and backed up. Oh, it was so beautiful. And one of their favorites was actually the one we're going to sing first on page 2 in your Christmas carol book there. O Come All Ye Faithful. O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. O sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, O glory in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Okay, someone pick another one?
Four.
Okay. O come, Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, great Lord of might, who hast thy tribes on thine eyes high. In ancient times once gave the law, in cloud and majesty and awe. Rejoice, rejoice, O Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel.
I just know something about the music. The notes are like a circle instead of a dot. They always appear at the end of a sentence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that usually will indicate you sustain it. You know, you just don't make it quickly sustain the note. Okay, what else? 17. Okay, yes. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. And wonders of his love. Okay, Sean.
16.
Which one?
16.
16. Okay, good one. The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east. Beyond them, far and to the earth, it gave great light. And so it continued both day and night. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. And by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country far to seek for a king, was their intent, and to follow the star wherever it went. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. This star drew nigh to the northwest, over Bethlehem it took its rest. And there it did both stop and then stay, right over the place where Jesus lay. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Then entered in those wise men three, full reverently upon their knee, and offered there in his presence their gold and myrrh and frankincense. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Noel, Noel, is the King of Israel. And that'll have to do till next year. So keep practicing. We'll be ready. Okay. Now in our quips and quotes that I always enjoy bringing to you every week. I acknowledge in the ordinary course of government that the exposition of the laws and constitution devolves upon the judicial. But I beg to know upon what principle it can be contended that any one department draws from the Constitution greater powers than another in marking out the limits of the powers of the several departments. James Madison, 1789. You can't help but to think that these founding fathers were prophets and the things that they were saying that have come true in our age. No people will tamely surrender their liberties, nor can any be easily subdued when knowledge is diffused and virtue is preserved. On the contrary, when people are universally ignorant and debauched in their manners, they will sink under their own weight without the aid of foreign invaders. Samuel Adams, 1775. We have been blessed with the gift of choice, service, and gratitude. Dr. Christopher understood the value of a grateful heart and the joy that comes to our lives as we serve. He would often quote a song, "Have I done any good in the world today? Have I helped anyone in need? Have I cheered up the sad and made somebody feel glad? If not, I have failed indeed." He also said, "You are already possess a degree of health right now. Thank God for it. Then go forward to build it even better health." As we choose to be grateful and serve those around us, we will experience great joy and even increased health. May each of you feel great joy this holiday season for the blessings which you do have and spread joy and light to those around you. And of course, I think that's a good exhortation as we go into the new year. Christmas is politically correct. Did you know that? It seems like every Christmas season we suffer through the same old anti-Christian and anti-American propaganda designed to eliminate Christian signs and symbols from the public arena. So I think it's timely to revisit the case that the birth of Jesus Christ is the most significant political event in the history of the universe. May the Father of all mercies scatter light and not darkness upon our paths and make us in all our several vocations useful here and his own due time and way everlastingly happy. George Washington, 1790. Now, we've talked about this before and it's worth repeating it. The American Republic was founded upon and modeled after the Republic of the ancient Hebrews. Although the Greek democracy and Roman Republic also were extensively studied, the American foundation was based on Hebrews. In fact, in 1788, Pastor Samuel Langdon, one of the most influential clergy in the colonial America at a time, and the president of Harvard College, gave an election sermon titled, "The Republic of the Israelites, an Example to the American States." And he referenced Deuteronomy as a constitution. And Langdon proclaims, "Here Moses recommends to Israel the strict observance of all the laws which had been delivered to them by God's command, relating both to their civil polity and religion, as a sure way to raise their reputation high among all nations, as a wise and understanding people, because no other nation was blessed with such excellent national laws, or advantage of applying to the oracle of the living God and praying to him in all difficulties with assurance that all their requests would be answered." I'm not going to read the entire writing on that, but those are very important things for us to keep in mind. The Hebrews were limited by the laws of God articulated in the Torah, while America is limited by the laws of God noted in the Declaration of Independence as the laws of nature and nature's God, natural law, and natural rights. How important is that? And as we're continuing on here, I found this to be a very funny story that I think we should share. The first day of school, our professor introduced us and challenged us to get to know someone we didn't already know. I stood up to look around when a gentle hand touched my shoulder. I turned around to find a wrinkled little old lady beaming up at me with a smile that lit up her entire being. She said, "Hi, handsome. My name is Rose. I'm 87 years old. Can I give you a hug?" I laughed and enthusiastically responded, "Of course you may." And she gave me a giant squeeze. "Why are you in college at such a young, innocent age?" I asked. She jokingly replied, "I'm here to meet a rich husband, get married, and have a couple of kids." "No, seriously," I asked. I was curious what may have motivated her to taking on this challenge at her age. "I always dreamed of having a college education, and now I'm getting one," she told me. After class, we walked to the student union building and shared a chocolate milkshake. We became instant friends. Every day for the next 3 months, we would leave class together and talk nonstop. I always was mesmerized listening to this time machine as she shared her wisdom and experience with me. Over the course of the year, Rose became a campus icon, and she easily made friends wherever she went. She loved to dress up. She reveled in the attention bestowed upon her from the other students. She was living it up. At the end of the semester, we invited Rose to speak at our football banquet. I never forget what she taught us. She was introduced and stepped up to the podium. As she began to deliver her speech, prepared speech, she dropped her 3x5 cards on the floor. You don't always see them, but you know they're always there. I think I missed part of that story, but anyway. It was pretty funny anyway. Let's see. Yeah, that's the last part that we printed out. You don't always see them, but you know they're always there. Well, German reformer Martin Luther in 1531 said, "The inner man is a saint. The outer man is a sinner. That is why we confess in the creed that the church is holy, but pray for forgiveness of sins in the Lord's Prayer." 1970, American missionary and apologist Francis Schaeffer wrote in a letter, "We can fail after we are truly Christians, but becoming a Christian does not rob us of our true humanity." Think about that. That's very true. English founder of Methodism in 1774, John Wesley wrote in a letter, "God frequently makes young men and women wiser than the aged, and gives to many in a very short time a closer and deeper communion with himself than any others attain in a long course of years." Well, that's something to look forward to. An optimist stays up until midnight to see the new year in. A pessimist stays up to make sure the old year leaves. My New Year's resolution for 2019 is to redouble my commitment to fight for biblical truth and the natural order of creation, using every skill, talent, and resource at my disposal, and I ask for your support. I'm not at a job. I'm on the mission from God. George Whitefield, the English revivalist, 1741, wrote in a letter, "Redeem your precious time. Pick up the fragments of it, that not one moment of it may be lost. Be much in secret prayer. Converse less with man and more with God." Good exhortation as we go into 2019, wouldn't you say? Indeed. Yes. And I don't know if you've heard this or not, but The Boy Scouts lose 425,000 members after dropping boy. All the crazy stuff going on in the country, we don't always lose, by the way. The Boy Scouts lost 425,000 members in 1 week after changing their name to Scouts from being Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts, earlier this month, it was revealed that the Boy Scouts of America, the 108-year-old organization synonymous with traditional American values, is on the verge of bankruptcy. At the report by Wall Street Journal revealed that Chicago law firm Sidney Austin has been appointed to handle Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing. Reports of sinking membership have coincided with various controversies surrounding the organization, including the decision to change its name from Boy Scouts to the more gender neutral. Scouts BSA is a bid to encourage girls and transgenders to sign up as members of BSA, revealed that the name change is scheduled to come into effect February 2019, yet membership figures show that 1 week after they announced the switch, 425,000 boys rescinded their membership. We've often talked about this, about unintended consequences that's happening. It's happening in Ohio, where Governor Kasich, who's obviously not a conservative and not a pro-lifer, was vetoing a heartbeat bill, and as it turns out, in 2019, both the houses there in Ohio are going to be pro-life, and so some changes are happening. So whenever you look at something and you feel like it's just not happening fast enough or it's not happening at all, please do remember that we're not always losing, except when we don't get out and do what we know that the Lord has asked us to do. Okay, today we're going to look at a chapter of Scripture in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to John, John 16. Turn there in your copies of the Bible, please. John 16. Father God, great opportunity always to study your word and learn something new today that we didn't know from before. And Holy Spirit, you're going to be our teacher, because nobody else could possibly teach us the depth of God's word like you can. And so I ask for your help, Lord, as I share this word with the folks today. Out of John chapter 16. And it's got 33 verses. And for this last Sunday of 2018, December 30th, we've got 33 verses, so we're going to have four readers today. So each of us will read eight, and I will read the final nine. We're going to start with Mrs. Lear on my left. Go ahead, John chapter 16.
John chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, from the English Standard Version. I have said all these things to you, to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. That was John chapter 16, verses 1 through 8 from the English Standard Version.
From the English Standard Version, John chapter 16, verses 9 through 16. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will be seeing me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you all into the truth. But he will not speak on his own authority, but whenever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine, and I declare to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I say to you that he will take what is mine, and I declare to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me. I read from the English Standard Version, John chapter 16, verses 9 through 16.
Continuing in John chapter 16, verses 17 through 24. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will see, and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." That was John chapter 16, verses 17 through 24 from the ESV.
And I'm reading from John chapter 16, beginning at verse 25, reading from the King James translation today. "These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said to him, "See, now you are speaking plainly, and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and has come, is now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Well, of course, every year, and praise God for the reading of his word, John chapter 16, as I just read those concluding verses from verse 25 through 33. Every year at Christmas time, we would rightfully ask the question, "Okay, Jesus, when are you coming again?" When are you fulfilling these promises that you have made? And of course, a lot of people get frustrated, especially, you know, facing a new year, and what we're hoping, of course, that the new year will be new, as opposed to saying, well, it's just dragging the old year into another page on the calendar, so to speak. But it isn't the way that it really is. And I'm using more or less for a theme here from verse 13. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of Truth, and of course he meaning the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So the issue is, he'll tell you things to come. So how are we going to know? I mean, there's a lot of misinformation out there. I mean, if somebody was to watch the news broadcasts, that you're getting false information. We've determined that, false media. So you can be very confused and bewildered, and things are looking so bad. But the thing is, we remember the Lord has made this as a promise, and he keeps his promises. When somebody else does, we don't have to hire a lawyer to sue God because he didn't keep his promise. Not at all. We know he does keep his promises. And of course, this gives the impression in verse 13, however, when the Spirit of Truth has come. Well, the Spirit of Truth has come, but I want to add a few letters to that, saying the Spirit of God is coming. He's not just come, he is coming. Because the idea of Jesus yesterday, today, and forever is also carried out in the Holy Spirit yesterday, today, and forever, that he came on this particular event, and we know that the Holy Spirit descended. But he's coming also in the Spirit of Truth. And so things are starting to show up. Truth is coming out about who did what and why. As Scripture tells us, that be sure that a man's sins will find him out. And this is happening. People in government are being discovered as being moles for the other side, or traitors in one way or the other. They're starting to come out. And of course, the Lord is so generous and kind and graceful that he gives people time to do this on their own. And of course, if you look in what we usually take as the Lord's Communion, the Lord's Supper, and it says there, examine yourself, but if a man will examine himself, he won't have to be examined by others. So the issue is, okay, examine yourself, and starting a new year is always a good idea to say, okay, I want to go into the new year in a new way. Not just repeat what I've done in the past, and the Holy Spirit may reveal to us there are things that we need to do differently and courageously. And when I had shared with you the words of Dr. Christopher, who is an herbalist, basically, and what he was saying about, you know, the new year and your health situation, I personally am facing that, saying, okay, should I live as an invalid because I've been injured, or should I do the best I can with the situation that I have? And of course, I'm still believing for a healing of my hand in particular, amongst giving me strength to continue on and do the other things that I believe the Lord wants me to do, because I'm on a mission for God. And I'm saying the I here, because I want to challenge each and every one of you to be considering also, are you on a mission for God? And if you are, how are you going to complete that mission? How are you going to carry on in that mission? And of course, we carry on by the power that the Holy Spirit gives us and direction that he's giving us. And I am certainly praying that our leaders, and we have some leaders that are good leaders, we have some people that are good people, and they're, you know, whether they said what the news media says, like the report that Jimmy Carter says that the Lord doesn't have anything against abortion or doesn't have anything against homosexuality, is totally false. Why did he say this in his late years? And I mean, I hope he didn't, because He's been known as a good Christian man, but now what would he have as his heritage that people remember that in his old age he wasn't staying true to God's word? And so for us, we look at the challenges around us and how life can weaken you. And I had an experience yesterday that was definitely what I call providential. I said to Kathy, I think we need to go to the store because there's some things that I'd like to have for the new year. Now, we didn't have to necessarily go on Saturday. We could have gone on Monday. But I said, come on, we'll go. You know, we'll stop and get a coffee on the way back and turn it into a date. I always like to take my wife on dates. And I was in the store there at Hannaford's, or next to Hannaford's and Job Lots. And I saw a guy I haven't seen for years. He and I had been good friends. We'd worked on a lot of things. He helped me right here in Wakefield, working at my house and stuff like that. And he actually came to the divorce hearing back years ago. And I thought that was pretty cowardly of him to do some of those things. But, you know, when I saw him, I don't know that he saw me or not. I don't know how he could miss me. But I stood outside and I waited for him. When he came along, I said, hi, Joe. Good to see you. And he said, oh, Garrett. And he shook my hand and we talked for a while and was very pleasant. And I said, you know, Joe, you're a good friend to me and I really miss you. He goes, yeah, Garrett, I miss you too. So I thought that was definitely providential. And of course, I'm sure he was surprised by the fact that I didn't hold a grievance against him from way back when he took the wrong side in something. But it's bound to happen. And so I was very glad to think I don't know whether I'll ever see him again or not. Hard to say whether we'll bump each other. I don't know why it's taken all those many years that I bumped into him there. He's been living right around here, working in Wolfboro, living in Effingham. And I'm really surprised how that all worked out. But there's a case of the Holy Spirit directing me. And when I said to Kathy, let's go up there to the store today. And if I hadn't gone up there to the store at that time and hadn't wanted to go into Job Lots for just two little items that I wanted to get there, I wouldn't have seen him. And I'm sure it was good for him, because instead of him contacting me and asking me to forgive him, he could see that I already had forgiven him, that I wasn't carrying that. And this leads us to some of the other things in this chapter, of which we're not going to go through every detail of the chapter, but in chapter 16 here of John, in verse 20, for example, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Now, most people would look at that, and I know a lot of people that are sorrowful right now. There are a lot of families that have been devastated by illness. We've been informed just in this past week or so of two people we have close relationship to through their relatives passed away in a difficult situation. It was actually in the hospital. They died in the hospital. And how could I say to somebody like that, your sorrow will be turned into joy? Now, you could go to grief counseling, and we've certainly advised people to do that from time to time. But going to grief counseling is not going to really turn your sorrow into joy. Only the Lord can do this. And as we're looking at the condition of the world these days and the condition of our country, it's pretty hard to be joyful about it, knowing that everything is so transient and things can change in no time at all. Whether it be the weather, in some places, you know, they get big snowstorms and knock the power out or something like that, or even here around us, you know, it gets warm and melts everything, then it's freezing cold at night and everything else. There's a lot of things that are objectionable to us, but still the Lord, and when we sing the song, the Christmas carol, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Well, joy to the Lord is coming again. Now, is he going to come in 2019? I can't say that. I don't know. But I do know this, he's always coming, and the joy is always there. And of course, it's mentioned in verse 24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And so you say, okay, what are the things we need to ask the Lord for that will make our joy be full? I mean, most people look at it as like their list of Christmas gifts that they want or something like that. Gee, my joy would be full if I got my Christmas list, everything on it that I wanted, get checked off. So it's not about that. Ask and you shall receive, or you will receive. Not you shall, but you will receive in the King James, that your joy may be full. The Lord wants us to be joyful. Joyful. And to be joyful means a work of the Lord. And when you meet somebody that's full of joy, what's the first question you want to ask them? How come you're so joyful? You know, we could say, what are you so happy about? But there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is so ephemeral. Joy is a state of a condition that you're in. And you say, well, why are you so joyful? Don't you know what's going on in the world? Don't you know how we could be blown up in no time at all? We could be invaded. We could have this. We could have that. And, of course, we know there are diseases that are coming across the border with these foreign invaders, people with the swine flu. A young woman in Texas just died, 26 years old, died of meningitis and swine flu. She's right there on the border with Texas and Mexico. Maybe it has something to do with that. We don't know. There's a lot of stuff out there, but it's always been that way. There's always been dangers. There's always been sickness. There's always been one thing or another going on. But yet we know that the Lord says that your joy would be full. That's what his promise is to us. So as we're looking at this, the Spirit of Truth is coming. Now, I could say the Spirit of Truth is coming to everyone else, but I'm kind of selfish in this. The Spirit of Truth needs to come to me. And I'm so thankful I had the opportunity to prove that I'm a forgiving person, even when somebody stabs me in the back, like this friend of mine stabbed me in the back. But I forgive him. And he said to me, we were talking about different things, he says, you have such a good memory. And of course, I could have said, yeah, I got such a good memory. I remember you stabbing me in the back. But of course, that's not what the Lord wants. He wants us to be full of forgiveness. Why? And here's the kicker, folks. Why does he want us to be full of forgiveness? Because we have needed to be forgiven. I have needed to be forgiven. I've certainly tried to live my life of not stabbing anybody in the back. I always tell people, if I'm going to stab you, I'll stab you in the front. I won't do you from behind. Something like that. But everyone, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so that's true in 2018. It'll be true in 2019. I posted on my Facebook account about the Apollo 8 mission, where they're on the moon, and of course, the different astronauts sending messages back to America, back to Earth, talking about the glory of God. You know, they're up there on the moon, and I mean, they don't even know if they're going to get back. Can you imagine standing on the moon and being able to look around in the heavens and everything and saying, hey, we're a long way from home. Are we going to be able to make it back? They don't know, but they were giving God the glory up there. And of course, it was a great challenge at the time because the Russians were trying to outdo us. You know, their Sputnik and all that other kind of stuff. That was a long time ago. A lot of people don't remember it. But going into this new year, 2019, we start in a different way as the Holy Spirit shows us. There are some things we've been doing. He's going to say, keep on doing that. And there are some things we've been doing, he's going to say, don't do that anymore. And we might have to say, well, Lord, I really want to obey you. I don't want to do these things anymore, but I need your help. And that's so important. Because we know a lot of people go back, as the scriptures we studied yesterday in our devotion time. The pig wallowing in its mire back wallowing in the same mud, so to speak, or the dog going back to its own vomit. These are kind of gross examples of people returning to the ways that a lot of people get off of drugs and then go back to them, or get off drinking and other things that they're doing and go back to them, because they don't remain vigilant and don't find their joy in the Lord. And just in finishing, there's so much more I would like to say, but in this, that your joy may be full. In the last verse of the chapter, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. Not in the United Nations, not in the League of Nations, not in the agreement of the NAFTA, CAFTA, or all these other things that don't even begin to understand totally what all that stuff means. In me. For in the world you will have tribulation. He's not saying you might have some tribulation. Life might not go so easily for you. You know, you go and have a surgery and everything works out fine. Not saying that. In this world, and I told my friend yesterday as he was sharing health issues he had, and I said, you know, Joe, life is a war. It's a spiritual war, it's a physical war, it's an emotional war, but life is a war. And that's one of the reasons why the Lord has raised us up as warriors for Him. Because you're going to have tribulation, but don't be afraid of it. Can you imagine? In this world, you will have tribulation, you will have trouble, you will have difficulties, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. I can remember, I used to think that the sun rose with my father and set with my father. When I was a young boy, and you notice I didn't say a little boy, because I never was a little boy. I was a young boy once, but I was never little. I used to wait for my dad to come home. I'd look out the window, and I'd see his car drive in the driveway, and I'd start jumping up and down. My daddy's home, my daddy's home, my daddy's home. And I'd wait by the door, and he'd open up the door and come in, and he'd put down his hat, like in the wintertime, his boots and his hat. And I have a picture of me standing in his boots with his hat on and his scarf around my neck, because I just thought my daddy could do everything. It took me a while to realize my daddy couldn't do everything. And of course, that's not the same as our Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father can do everything, can make everything happen, and He's promised what He will do. So, the Spirit of Truth is coming. Be glad to meet Him at the door, so to speak. Okay, you're going to have tribulation, but you should stay in good cheer, because Jesus has said, I have overcome. He didn't say, I'm going to overcome the world. I have overcome the world. It is written. And of course, when it said, it's written, you write amen next to that. Oh Lord, so let it be. Let's pray. Father God, we're not afraid of 2019. We're looking forward to it. Hey, we're done with this year. One more day and it's over. And we're going to have a new year, fresh year, new calendars put on the wall, and new opportunities. But we know we're going to have tribulation in 2019, maybe more than we even had in 2018, but so what? You have overcome the world for us. And we take part in that victory because you let us take part in it. And Lord, we do pray for our nation, we pray for our president. Pray for world leaders that they wake up and realize they'll have to stand before your throne of grace, your judgment seat, and guaranteed they will be naked as a jaybird if they don't have you there with them. We thank you, we praise you, Jesus. In your holy name, Yeshua HaMashiach, we love you. Amen.